This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. Amen. You want a victory? Start using faith.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to turn loose that preacher I was talking about. And all the way from the short end of Norwich, Brother Rick Alford. Let's greet him with a hearty amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Coming from the tall end of Norwich. Amen. God's good. Praise God. God is all right. I thank God for an apostolic church. That I have to say God directed my path here. Amen. I always give my testimony, and I grew up in the islands of Trinidad and Tobago, and I grew up knowing church. I grew up knowing church. I grew up in church. That was my first knowledge of everything. I grew up around ladies dancing in the aisles around me when I was trying to sleep. They'll wake me up, you know, bumping into me. You know, I grew up around men shouting and their shirts wet, soaking wet, not only from the heat, but just from enjoying the service. And their services were started about 10 o'clock and ended like about 6 that evening. So it was all day in church. I mean, we broke for lunch, but that's what I grew up on, just praising God, you know. And then when I got older, a little, you know, teenage years, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, things of this world started to look a little more exciting in church, and, you know, life started to happen. And then at 15, I was shipped over here because, you know, I my mom just had too much. I was just a handful. So she put me on an airplane and shipped me to the United States. And I thought, man, I'm free. You know what I mean? I don't have to argue with my mom. Oh, but I'm not going to church today. I want to do this and I want to do that. I was free to do whatever I wanted to do when I came over here at 15. Because I had no parental guidance no more. I was on my own. And from 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 4 years, I stayed just giving myself wholly to this world. Doing whatever I felt like, however I felt like, whenever I felt like. And at 19 is when I realized that I needed God. I needed God in my life. I felt like that young man that was preached about, he went into, you know, he left father's house and went into the wilderness and spent his money crazy and end up lacking. And as you find yourself lacking, you start remembering about the goodness of God, especially if you had an experience with God before. You start thinking about, I think I had it better in church. Regardless of with all the lights and all the glitter and all the excitement and all the whatever the world has to offer, when you start lacking, when there is no more finances, when there is no more friends, when there is no more accommodations, when there is no more of the things that you thought was what you needed, when all that is run out, you realize that God is everything. And, you know, the times you had in God, regardless if it wasn't much, you had enough. Amen. And you start looking back for the pathway of, well, where's Father's house? I want to go back home. And I find myself at 19 saying, oh, God. I remember when, you know, I used to mumble and grumble about this and that. And now I want to go back home because out here it ain't what I thought it was going to be like. It's rough out here. It's rough out here. I need to go back home. So I started praying, and I was living with some Muslims at the time. And I started praying. And my best friend at the time had got a job at the restaurant. And for some reason, and I believe this was God, he didn't want it. I'm not going down there. So I called the restaurant after, you know, conversing with him. I called the restaurant. I said, you guys still need somebody? He said, yeah, we need somebody. If you come now, you got the job. And I was living right down the street from the restaurant. So I ran up there real quick. And I got the job washing dishes. $5 an hour. Washing pots and pans. And taking out trash in the back. But it was a good sacrifice because I met the people of God there. I met some people who believed in God and who loved God. Not only believed in God, but they loved God enough to decipher what is truth and what it takes to be saved, really saved. Not just confess God and, you know, believe in your heart and, you know, raise your hand and you're saved type salvation, but it's a salvation according to the word of God. A salvation that when you get this salvation, it changes you not only from the inside, but it changes the outside. Amen. It changes the outside of the person. And just like sin changes a person, when a person leaves church, you'll say they leave church wearing a suit and tie, clean shaven, looking refreshed. They leave church and you see them with long hair, big beard, or a lady will leave here, nice long hair, you know, godly appearance. They leave church and you see them with, you know, looking all sort of different, you know what I mean, cut their hair and, you know what I mean, they just look all crazy because the world has a way of changing you into what it wants you to look like, and God has a way of changing you into what he wants you to look like. The salvation I'm talking about changes you. It changes you. And how does it change you? You have to want this. You have to want to be changed. You just can't show up in God's house and I'm saved and still be a turtle. Oh, I want to say, still be a cocoon. You have to be changed into a butterfly. You have to put off the old and come into the new. Amen. God's good. So I found these. I found these group of people that. I said, wow, this is all right. You know what I mean? This is all right. God is truly good. And inquiring, it was like Moses sitting on the backside of the desert almost and seeing a burning bush. Wow, these people are different. They are different. But I like that kind of different because I understand that there's some real people of God. And you could tell who is real and who is not real. You can. Like I said, I was living with some Muslims. They're people. I call them mom and dad because they took me in and they fed me, they clothed me, and they took care of me. I still have that respect for them, and I go visit them when I'm in New London. I go visit them. But they didn't have the truth. Good, loving people. Good, loving. I go there right now and, you know, I'll sit down and they'll offer me a big plate of food and they'll... And I'm welcome. You know, they call me son. I'm welcome. And they try to teach me about Allah and, you know, but it wasn't what my soul needed. It wasn't truth to save my soul. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't truth. There's one truth, the Bible says. One faith, one baptism. I'm getting to a point here. Hold on 1 second. I saw these people of God and, you know, I'm living in London and the church is in Norwich. Well, it doesn't matter because, you know, we have the brethren that works in New London. And I know if I come to church, I'll always get a ride back home, regardless. So somebody's going to take me home. So I started coming to church faithfully. And found out that, sure enough, they preached Acts 2:38 and they baptized in Jesus' name. And I wasn't baptized because as a child in Trinidad, I didn't want to get baptized too early. That's just my thinking. Man, I got a lot of living to do. If I get baptized now, this is my thinking, and this is how humanity thinks. If I get baptized now, I won't be able to do this. I won't be able to do that. I won't be able to go here. I won't be able to go there. And I have a lot of living to do. I have a lot of friends who, you know what I mean? I was already sheltered as a child. I can't go here. I can't go there. I can't do this. I can't do that. Everything is no, 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 no. I'm like, wow, if I get baptized, I'll be extra no on me. Because I'm not dealing with just mom now. I'm dealing with God now. You know what I mean? That was my thinking. So I said, I don't want to get baptized, not understanding what it takes to be saved. Amen. What it takes to be saved. And over the years, God kept on saving my life, pulling me out of this, pulling me out of that, protecting me from this, protecting me from that. And now that I'm face to face with Jesus now, I came into the presence of God. And I'm hearing the word preach. And my soul is feeling good. Now, Brother Joe said something in his last message. It was Brother Joe, Brother Bradley. He said, time to the effect is, you know, I might be in church for 20 years and somebody might come to church for a few months. Oh, he was talking about the laborers in the garden. And it doesn't matter. God gives the increase. God gives. He said, I'm gonna hire you for this amount, and it doesn't matter if he come in the last minute or the first second. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Ghost. So as a child growing up, I would see people come into church and the pastor will let them sit up in the back where the ministers sit. I'm like, Now, here I am, 8, 9, 10 years old, observing this now. And I'm saying to myself, well, I should be up there. I've been here 10 years. You know what I mean? He just came 2 years and he's up there. You know? Childish thinking. That's why you need the Holy Ghost, folks. You need the Spirit of God in your life. It will take away this earthly thinking that we have and put us in a realm that God is pleased with. But I appreciate God, you know, for just working in my life as a child and showing me mercy for those 5 years that I ran United States. I mean, I ran all over the United States in those 5 years. But I'm thankful that he had mercy on me. He had mercy. And he led me here, and I got baptized in Jesus' name because I heard the message. I understood what baptism meant. I understood, not as a child no more, but as a young adult, I understood that I needed to be baptized to wash away my sins. All the thoughts that I had growing up, I had to wash all that away and take on the mind of Christ. How did I get the mind of Christ? Well, every single service, the pastor gave an opportunity for somebody to come up and receive the Holy Ghost who didn't have the Holy Ghost. Because it was very important that he stressed the fact that without the Holy Ghost, you're none of Christ. Jesus don't know you. You might sit on the seat 20 years like I did when I was a child, 10 years, and I thought I knew him, but I didn't have the Holy Ghost. I wasn't even baptized in Jesus' name. And I thought, man, if anybody had a right to be up behind the pulpit, I did. These guys, I don't know where they came from, but they're in the pulpit already. They had the Holy Ghost. They were baptized in Jesus' name. I wasn't. But here I am thinking, well, that should be me. We need the Holy Ghost in order for God to say, hallelujah, behold my child. This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased. You need the Spirit of God with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Why am I saying that? Because it's important. It's very important. And we ought to have an earnest desire down in our spirit, down in our soul, to want to please God. Not just to come to church and clap our hands and listen to the song and enjoy the testimony service and giving the offering. But there needs to be something more than that. A desire burning in my soul. I got to be saved. And if I'm not saved, how do I get to be saved? Because at the end of all this, our souls is going to be required of us. And it's not a joking matter. It's not a joking matter. I was telling my mom, I think it was a couple of days ago, and I'm going to start preaching pretty soon. I was telling my mom, but this is all foundation. This is all foundation, and you'll see when I start reading some scriptures. There was a spaceship went up to space a couple of days ago, and they showed it in real time. And it shot up there, man. And I'm looking at it, I was like, wow. And it shot up there, and they said it was going to hit speeds of 17,000 miles per hour or something like that. You know, and I'm like, but it shot up there, and when it shot up and it went above the earth, you see the earth rotating, and then you see darkness in space. And the first scripture that came to my mind was Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. When I saw that spaceship shot up in the sky, and it started to not orbit Earth yet, but it was above the Earth atmosphere, I should say. And you see the blue marble of Earth, and it's still going up, and all you see is darkness. I say, how wonderful is God? How he could create something like this. And he put us, humanity, who he loves, who he made a supreme sacrifice. He sent his only begotten son to die for us so that we could be free from this world of sin and shame and live in that let there be light atmosphere. What a wonderful God. Amen. God is just awesome. And if you really want to get serious with God, I beg of you, please be saved. Please be saved. It was in 1991. The only thing in my mind was, I need to be saved. I want what Brother Bradley had. I want what Sister Judy had. I want what Brother Mike had. I want what Brother Joe had. I want what Sister Lynn had. I wanted it. I looked at their life and they were happy. They were rejoicing. Every service, Tuesday service, Thursday service, Sunday twice, I will come from New London to Norwich, and I will look upon these brethren, and I'm like, I want to be just like them. I want what they have, because the Spirit of God was just oozing out of them. I wanted this. How did I get the Holy Ghost? I prayed earnestly. God, whatever it takes, whatever you have to do, whatever I have to leave behind, let me be able to do that with your help, Lord, so that I could gain you. That's what I prayed. And they're my witness. Every time the services ended, I was one of the first ones up in front here with a couple of others. But I was one of the first ones up in front here. I left my daughter in the back. I had my daughter, Danya, you met her. Big belly with two kids. I left her in the back, and I would come up here, and I would seek God. I would seek God, and I would say, God, I don't want to go home without this Holy Ghost. I don't want to go home without this Holy Ghost. I want to be saved. Every service for months, I sought this thing. Earnestly, sacrificing whatever I had to sacrifice to grab a hold of God. Thank God that he saw fit. When I released everything that I had, he filled me with the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I felt it. Amen. I felt it. And I've never been the same since. Amen. God's been good. He's a keeper. And I appreciate him for that. Genesis chapter 22. Do a little reading. I entitled this message, which is not a long message. It's not a lengthy message, but it's a message that it could make you understand a little bit more about what God requires of us, of me. If you're serious, he's well serious about taking you to heaven. You know, we have schools, we have colleges, we have jobs. Some jobs you have to wear a uniform. A person that never wore a uniform before, and they have to wear a uniform to go to work. It's required of them. You can't come to work without a uniform because you're not a part of the team. They send you home. You know, get your uniform, get your badge, whatever it takes. That's the lineup. School, they have curriculum. All the kids learn the same thing from kindergarten to 12th grade. And then from 12th grade, you go to college. They have books that they teach you out of. It's a strict curriculum. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. Well, in the Word of God, there's the same thing. There's a strict curriculum. And if you don't follow that, the Bible talks about the bridegroom came to a wedding and saw some people without wedding garments. They said, who is these people here without wedding garments? You know, everybody has their wedding garments on. These want to come up and jump through the window just to get some food. Not in God's house. You need your uniform. What's the uniform? Repentance. Baptism in Jesus' name, with the infilling of the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Amen. That's our uniform. Genesis 22, start at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his beast, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the animals, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Amen. God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. There's a lot of good things in this word in Genesis 22, a lot of good things. One of the things that I saw as I was contemplating on this scripture is that you say you love God. If God tells you something, will you obey him? It's easy for us to hear the word of God. Listen to what I'm saying now. It's easy for us to hear the word of God and not be a doer of it. But if you be a doer of it, things will change in your life. It will have to. Abraham took his only begotten son. That means this is something precious. This is someone who was precious to Abraham, his only begotten son. I have four kids, and I can't see myself sacrificing one of them. I love them all. But if I hear the word of God speaks to me, I got to listen to God. Now, God is not telling us to sacrifice our children. He's telling us to sacrifice ourselves. Put ourselves on the altar. And he's saying to us in plain English, go up yonder and I'll tell you what to, you know, I'll tell you where to go. I'll tell you what to do. And then when you find that place, take what you have and give it to me. And we'll ask ourselves, what? See the church. I see the people. Where's the offering? You're the offering. Again, like I said, this is I laid a big foundation, and I told you all that I told you about just to say this. We ought to get more in tune with God, because I wrote, the sacrifice is well worth it. The sacrifice is well worth it in the end. It mightn't be good to sacrifice. It wasn't good for me to I won't say it wasn't good. It was needed for me to sacrifice myself on the altar. But on the outside looking in, it wasn't good for me to leave all that, what I had before, to say I'm going to live for God. But in the end, it's worth it. You know why? There's life eternal at the end. There's a goal at the end. And if you really want to see God, we have to go through this sacrificial moment in our lives. We have to. It's a must. We can't stay the same and see God. We can't. If you came in one way, you can't stay that same exact way and see God. Things have to fall off. Things have to be done in your life. It's just the word of God. And it's all through the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. We're reading about Abraham and Isaac, how he had to sacrifice Isaac. And, you know, I'm sure it was a stressful moment. I have to sacrifice my own son. But God will provide. God will provide. We don't know the end from the beginning. God knows it. So we have to put our trust and faith in God, knowing that, well, God's going to see me through. You mean to say I have to leave? I can't go to the bar with my best buddy and hang out no more because it's not pleasing to God? Oh, man, but I love that guy. I love Pookie Strong. I love Dave Wilson. Dude made me laugh. And every time I try to sing a song, he finishes it. He's my buddy. You know what I mean? He had my back. You mean to say I have to stop hanging out with these guys and live for God? God will provide. You mean to say I have to tell the boss of Gondolier? And that's the job I really needed, because without that job, I don't know how I'm going to survive. You mean to say if he tells me you have to work on a Sunday and a Tuesday, I have to tell him no and be willing to lose my job and please God? You mean to say I have to go through that? Yes. If you want God in your life, there has to be a sacrifice. And God's going to put you through that sacrifice, that sacrificial moment, to see if you really mean business with him. You mean to say I have to tell my wife, tell my husband, hon, I'm going to church. Regardless if you like it or not, I'm going to church. If you leave me, you leave me. If you don't, well, you're welcome to come with me and we both could be saved. But if you don't come with me, I'm going to live for God. You mean to say I have to do that to live for God? Yes, you do. You have to. How much do you really love God? How much do you really want to go to heaven? You mean to say I have to please God with all my heart? And that means if that pleasing God means I have to sacrifice some things, put some stuff on the altar, and let God bring forth a miracle. You mean that's what I have to do? That's what you have to do. And if you're not willing to do that, you can't be a child of God. You just be wasting your time. Like Sister Jennifer is just saying, you come to the chairs and pick up space, and then you go home and you'll be empty. Then you come to church again, pick up space, and then you'll be empty. Then you go home. Why am I miserable? Because you don't want to sacrifice. You don't want to give God everything. It's the truth. But God is telling us here in his word, he is the supreme author of our lives. And if we take a step to him, he will provide a sacrifice for us. He will provide everything that we need. Don't you know when I told God I wanted to live for him, everything that I ever wanted in my life, every single thing that I ever wanted in my life appeared right in front of me. I started playing soccer at a young age. I was real good at playing soccer. I don't know how I got that. My stepfather took me to a lot of professional soccer games when I was younger. Him and I used to go, and just him and I by ourselves, used to buy two tickets, and him and I used to go and, you know, watch these professional soccer players, and I used to be like, wow. And, you know, my goal and aspirations was to go over to Wembley in England, play in front 40, 50,000 people, have them screaming my name, Ray! And I envisioned that. When I decided to live for God, to just change my life totally and just surrender it all to God, I had some friends. They wanted to take me to Greece to play professional soccer with them. Now, Greece is in Europe, and England was right there across the pond. They wanted me to you could do this and live for God, man. We do it. We're all Christians. They wanted me to, you know, sacrifice God for the things that I loved. And God was telling me, sacrifice what you love and come to me. Amen. Don't you know all the opportunities in the world came and placed itself right on my doorstep? And they came and they spoke to Pastor, and Pastor said, well, he found God, and he loved God, but ultimately it's up to him, whatever he says, you know. And I looked at him and said, sorry, fellas, I'm living for God. Now, this was an opportunity of a lifetime. Two years prior, they never offered me that. It was all about just fun and games then. Oh, man, let's go out and play. But as soon as I started being serious with God, soon as I said within myself, God, I want you with all my heart, all my soul, opportunities came. I had my first wife. If anybody had loved somebody, she had loved me. Don't talk to my husband like that. And she would stick up for me, and you know what I mean? Even to her parents, she would stick up. And one night, I said, after I was tired of, you know, doing the things I was doing, making the household happy, I said, I'm going to start living for God. Amen. You going to start living for God? Now, they were quote-unquote church people. You going to start living for God? Well, that's good. Did you guys ever saw her come to this church? She came like once?
Yeah, I think so.
She probably came like once. She probably came like once, and after she came once, she's like, oh no. But this was church people. Came once, and that was it. After that, it was like, well, I don't think you and I gonna last any longer. I don't think you and I gonna last any longer. You just being too real for me. Because I started sacrificing myself. I started putting myself on the altar of God. Not my will, God, but let your will be done. I don't want to live in this world of shame no more. I don't want to do the things that I used to do no more. I just want to get closer to you, God. I just want to just get closer to your people. I want to learn of you. And when you have that desire in your heart to please God, the things of this world grow strangely dim. Because holiness and worldliness just don't mix. It just don't mix. When you start getting close to God, you put off the things of the world. The things of the world has to leave you. Now, if you're holding on to the things of the world and you want to please God, you will always find things are going to not be right in your life. You're going to see the Bradleys be happy. You're going to see the pastor come in and he'll be happy. You'll see the people that has the Holy Ghost on fire, happy and jolly. And then you're going to look at yourself and you'll be like, I'm miserable. What am I missing? You're missing the sacrifice. You're missing the sacrifice. Put yourself on the altar. Be real with God and let God mold you and shape you into what he'll have you to be. You're not going to miss anything. You're not going to miss anything. Let me tell you something. When Abraham walked up Moriah's mountain and put his only begotten son on the mountain and lifted up that knife to take his only begotten son's life, and God provided the sacrifice. The story didn't stop there. The story didn't stop there. God blessed Abraham. He blessed Isaac. You understand what I'm saying? It don't end by, God provided a sacrifice and that's it. No, he's going to provide for you more and more and more. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today and forever. He changes not. And you read through all the word of God, you're going to see the blessings that Abraham enjoyed, that Isaac enjoyed. Matter of fact, we're enjoying part of that blessing that Abraham and Isaac enjoyed, because it was obedience unto God that Jesus came through. You understand what I'm saying? And provided the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I could have a chance to inherit eternal life. So if you really want to know and experience this blessings of God, please go through the sacrificial process and don't play with God's salvation. It's real. It's real. It's absolutely real. And it will be well worth it in the end. I thought my life was over when my wife told me, and I'll be totally honest with you, transparent, I came over here on a student visa, meaning I didn't have the opportunity to work or to perform the duties of American citizen. I didn't have that opportunity. I came over with a student visa, and the student visa was for 4 years. The first year I had the student visa, the second year I had it, my house caught on fire, and it burnt up my passport, my birth certificate, the student visa, everything was burnt up to the crisp. So I was like a man without a country. If I go home, back to Trinidad, I'll have to get a new passport, and I couldn't come back to the United States. And I had my first daughter already. Her mom and I were separated, so that means I couldn't work. But God gave me to work at the restaurant. God gave me this job at the Gondolier without a Social Security card, without a green card, without a citizenship. And he had me there for 3 years until I got established in the truth, until I got the Holy Ghost, until I got baptized in Jesus' name. And because I sacrificed my whole entire being, because I told my first wife, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to live for God. Amen. If I don't ever see you or my daughter again in life, I'm going to live for God. Because I knew what I wanted, and I wanted it with all my heart. And don't you know, after 20 years of living for God, in this country, without a green card, without a Social Security card, God provided me with a beautiful wife and three more beautiful daughters. And within those 20 years, I never went without a job. I had my own apartment. I had my own car. And this is without license, without it. Well, I mean, I can't, because this is the blessings of God. I had all of these things because I trusted in God. And then when everything materialized, he's still blessing me today. He is still providing for me. And he's doing it over and over and over. So don't think that the sacrifice that you're going to make in living for God and putting yourself on the altar and say, God, just clean me. Take away everything that is not of you in my life. Take it away and let me live a life that is pleasing unto you. When you do that, don't think that you're leaving something. You're gaining everything. You're gaining everything that you can't see that God has for you, because your eyes are blinded. Scales in your eyes. But once those scales come out, God will provide himself a sacrifice for you. And that's my message tonight. Read one more scripture here. Hebrews 13. I don't know if this goes with it, but I'm going to read it anyhow. Hebrews 13:16 simply says, let's go up to 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that this, the fruit of our lips, start over. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. With this sacrifice, God is well pleased. Let God be well pleased with your sacrifice. Don't be one of those people that come to church just to come to church. come to church to be saved. Tell yourself, I must be saved. Regardless of anything else that is going on in this world, I must be saved. And once you tell yourself that and you don't be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word, then the manifestation of your sacrifice gonna be pleasing unto God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.